You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 3rd of January 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. This is the first Daily Nationalist of the new year, so happy new year everyone, and I hope you have a great 2022. I hope it is an improvement on 2021. But of course, we do have news stories to get into, even though there weren't that many over the Christmas week. There was one here that really caught my eye, which is about a traditional British pastime. It's about Morris dancing. English Morris dancers have cancelled their traditional face paint this year, opting for a non-black colour over allegations of racism. And this is because the Morris dancers used to black up. They used to paint their faces black. It's a tradition that goes back hundreds of years. It goes back to before immigration. And yet there have been these allegations that it is the same thing that the black and white minstrel show were doing in America, which didn't take place until centuries after Morris dancing began. And really, I would like to have seen the Morris dancers having a bit more of a backbone and saying, well, there's no elements of racism to this at all. And this is an issue that's been going on for a couple of years now, and it appears to have come to a head, basically, at the end of 2021. The use of black face paint in Morris dancing has become an increasingly controversial topic in England in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020. And it's not just in England, it's also on the borders, and I believe there's Morris dancing in Wales as well. And in actual fact, it's the borders Morris dancing troupe that were most associated with the black face paint. This year, or obviously last year, 2021, Morris dancer troops across the country ditched their traditional black face paint for Boxing Day dances and instead used other colours such as blue or green in an effort to avoid being branded racist, the Telegraph reports. Now, some people say that they had black faces because it was supposed to look as if they'd been down the mines, as if they were miners. Others say that they used to black their faces up so that you couldn't tell who they were. It was some sort of disguise. Others say that, it's actually they're trying to make themselves look exotic. And the word Morris dancing itself appears to come from the word Moorish. But years ago, the Moors weren't very much darker than we are today. If you look back at the old paintings of the Moors, you'll see that they're always usually depicted as being white, and you might see the odd dark colour amongst them. I think the darkening that we've seen that's occurred with Arabs is actually fairly recent, just over the last 1,000 years. And when we had the Moors that were going into Spain, I think they were still fairly light-skinned. If you consider the pictures, the paintings that were actually drawn at the time, and Morris dancing supposedly comes from Moorish dancing. Morris dancing is a traditional folk dance in England dating back to at least 1448. Morris performers, normally dressed in traditional white attire and sometimes with bells on their shins, clap together implements such as swords, sticks and handkerchiefs in a dance, and in some instances performers wear face paint during the dance. And I can remember seeing Morris dances when I was a child. I used to enjoy watching them doing their dance with their hankies and clapping these wooden sticks that they had that were, I guess they were supposed to symbolize swords, and they would travel about the country in the summer and they would dance in pub gardens. It was always quite exciting and colourful, sort of thing that you would associate with the carnival when you were a child, and you really don't see so much of it anymore. The tradition of using black face paint in Morris dancing is believed to date back to the 1500s in England, and Morris dancers claim that the practice is linked to when people would use soot to disguise their faces while begging. In the early modern period, 1500 to 1800, beggars in England were seen as idle and blamed for crimes by both the government and citizens alike. This was largely due to the fact that such individuals would often roam the country and move between villages, an unusual practice at the time. So because they were asking for money for the dance, they were seen as they could be dodgy characters, so they didn't want people to actually identify them. In 1547, the Vagrancy Act was passed, which included the punishment that any able-bodied person caught by the authorities who did not work would be branded with a V and sold into slavery for 2 years. So white people were being enslaved in the 16th century in Britain. And I dare say most white people today are completely unaware of that, and they just associate slavery with black people. And this wasn't white people capturing other whites and selling them on. It was the authorities doing this. And if somebody didn't have a job, then they ran the risk of being sold into slavery. And that meant that these Morris dancers were also running the risk of being sold into slavery. So this meant that many beggars would attempt to hide their identity in order to escape persecution or judgment. So the Morris dancers would cover their faces in soot, and then people couldn't identify them. And if there was somebody there in the audience that didn't like the fact that these people were asking for money just for doing a dance, then they couldn't report them because they would be unaware of who they were. And I think Morris dancing actually got banned under the Puritans as well. Oliver Cromwell stopped the Morris dancing, but it came back once Charles II came in. This use of black face paint has been labelled racist by some left-wing commentators who dispute this history and claim that its origins come from the American minstrel show influences during the Victorian era. But Morris dancing goes back to the 15th century. I mean, it goes back to the time of Cromwell. The black and white minstrels didn't really come about until, I think, the 20th century. I know they probably existed before the television show, but certainly, as it says here, the Victorian era. And these dancers have been blacking up since before that time. While small numbers of black people have been present in England since Roman times, I would challenge that. I would say that in actual fact, we did have people from Africa present in England since Roman times, but North Africa was white. It was Carthage. It was Egypt. It was Simon the Cyrene, the character from the New Testament, the place that is now Libya, that was white. The whole of North Africa used to be white. It was conquered by the Romans. And we have records in our British Chronicle that tell us that a king came over from Africa. And at that time, Africa was occupied by the Vandals. They went in and they defeated the Romans and they took over. And that's where this king came from. He was a Vandal king. He was part of the Vandal tribe, which was a Germanic tribe. So we know that we had this African king that came to Britain. We know that there were Africans in amongst the Romans, but they were white people. And today, in this attempt to try and be inclusive and include black people in our history where there weren't actually any black people, they look at it, our historians look at it and they say, oh, well, look, it says Africa there. Well, most people don't actually know that Africa was white back then, so we can get away with pretending that it actually meant there were black people in Britain. And I'm very disappointed to see that Breitbart is doing this, which is actually where I'm getting this this article from. So I would question that. I would suggest black people have not been present in England since Roman times. But they continue. They say it would have been unusual for the majority of English people, especially outside of major cities, to have seen a black person until the black community's population became more prominent in the 1700s. And of course, what happened then, you had Elizabeth I, and Elizabeth I removed them all. And there's a famous letter that was sent to her saying that we've got these black people that are appearing in our cities and they're taking our jobs and they shouldn't be here, basically. So Queen Elizabeth I created a law and said that they all had to be removed because they were not native to Britain, basically. It's quite a famous letter that people can check out. And what that really shows is that there was a very tiny amount of black people in Britain in the 1700s, and they were actually removed. And then more came back when we started up the British Empire and we went to India. And there were some blacks and non-whites that worked on the ships. And you might have seen them in places like Liverpool on the docks there. And they would spend time working on the ships. And obviously, when the ship came into berth in the harbour, they would leave the ship for a while and they might be seen on the docks. So there may have been some very small communities in places like Liverpool, perhaps in London as well. Certainly a lot less than 1% of the population, and not enough of them to really be recorded as doing anything remarkable in our history. This is why there is this difficulty with actually being quote unquote inclusive with our history, is because the history just doesn't exist. So they have to create a new history, like they've done here, claiming that there were black people here in Roman times, in order to do that. And because they've invented this history and they pretend that there were black people here, that's how they can get away with saying that these Morris dancers must have been mocking black people by putting soot on their faces. And I guess it's quite insulting to a black person to claim that somebody is impersonating them just by putting soot on their face as well. And it plays into this idea that race is just skin deep and it's just a skin colour. And of course, it's not that. It's the fibre of your entire being is whatever race that you belong to. Because there were such a small number of black people in the country, this makes it unlikely that the original use of soot in Morris dances was designed to ridicule black people. However, in response to the backlash against the supposed racism of the black face paint, the joint Morris organisations, the JMO, a cross-county Morris association, condemned the use of black face paint during the height of the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020. So they tried to jump on the bandwagon with the zeitgeist of the time, which was the manufactured Black Lives Matter protests. And they tried to associate themselves with Black Lives Matter. Whether that will actually get more people to join the Morris dancers, we have yet to see. And they say the JMO will take action to eliminate this practice from their membership. Teams that continue to use full face, black or other skin tone makeup will find they are no longer a part of the mainstream Morris community. They will no longer be covered by JMO public liability insurance or invited to take part in events organised or sponsored by the JMO. And they said that in a statement last July. And they also stated that it was time for the tradition to evolve and become more inclusive. Well, I have yet to see a black person involved in Morris dancing. It's an ancient English tradition, I guess a British tradition, since you have it on the borders as well. And why should it be changed to appease left-wing progressive types that have been complaining about it when quite clearly it was nothing to do with the black and white minstrel show in America. I mean, people in Britain were not aware of what was going on in America. They certainly weren't likely to have gone to a black and white minstrel show and thought, I know, we'll do that in Britain and we'll transfer that to our traditional Morris dancing. I mean, it's a ludicrous idea. Well, this article here, as it says, it's referring to something that happened in August last year. So let's have a close look at that. A folk festival has banned Morris dancers from performing with black paint on their faces after complaints that the 500-year-old tradition is racist. Shrewsbury Folk Festival bosses said people wearing full black face paint would not be booked from next year, even though the dancers claim it has no racial links and branded it PC nonsense. So there's no intent there to incite hate. There's no intent there to mock black people. I dare say that the audience would have been told that this was a representation of the Morris dancers putting soot on their faces so that they could not be identified. There are no racial overtones to it. And instead of doing that, they were forced to either not turn up or change the tradition and start colouring their faces green or yellow, or I guess they probably do rainbow colours today. Last year's festival will be the last time that the popular festival will book Morris dancers using dark makeup. Community group Fairness Respect Equality Shropshire said the ban showed sensitivity to a changed social climate. Well, why doesn't it show loyalty to a British tradition? Why is it more important to change to suit the social climate when what we're actually talking about here is a tradition? The whole point of a tradition is that it doesn't change and it's remained the same for centuries. If we're going to just change all our traditions, it means we will no longer have any traditions. We will no longer have things that belong exclusively to ourselves as a people and as a culture. Morris dancers say there were no racial connotations and they had never wanted to upset people. See, this was not done to mock people. It was not done to insult people or incite hatred or anything like that. It's an ancient tradition. Festival director Sandra Surtees said that they found themselves caught between two sides of the argument. She added, the use of full face black makeup is an age-old tradition, particularly within Border Morris, and that's on the Shropshire-Wales border. The Morris movement has always evolved over time, and some sides have taken their own decisions to move away from using full face black makeup to other forms of colour and disguise. But of course, what this means is that when the children go to see the Morris dancers and they go and talk to their grandparents about it, they're talking about something completely different that their grandparents are not going to remember. It means that the tradition has not carried on. They're not talking about traditions evolving here. They're talking about doing away with the tradition entirely. She says, we have been approached by one group that has requested we no longer book sides that use full face black makeup, and another that has asked us not to change our policy and to continue to book these sides. And of course, the group that got in touch with her and was lobbying her to no longer book the side that uses the full face black makeup, that they were not fans of Morris dancing. They were not your Morris dancing audience. They were left-wing progressives, of course. Jonathan Hyams, the secretary for Equality Group, Fresh, said, from Fresh's perspective, it is good news. You see, the group was an equality group. It wasn't a group that supports Morris dancing, wants to see Morris dancing evolve and continue in modern Britain. It was a group that want to change it. We entirely understand the argument from Morris dancing communities that this is something that goes back to tradition, he said. Our understanding is that it comes from traditional disguise, when for different reasons, Morris dancers were subject to persecution if they were dancing or protesting against different things. However, there are other ways of celebrating this other than blacking up, which has very strong connotations of racism, but it doesn't have any connotations of racism. That is not a part of the history. That is being entirely projected onto the Morris dancers by this guy from Fresh, basically, and by the left-wing activists. The decision has sparked public outrage from Morris dancers and Shropshire residents. I bet it has. I mean, who is he to interfere with a centuries-old tradition just because he thinks it might upset newcomers to the country? And I bet this Jonathan Hyams, I bet he isn't black. I mean, I doubt whether there were black people that were complaining about Morris dancers in the 70s. It's white people that are doing this on behalf of black people and encouraging black people to see this as somehow being insulting when there's no insult intended. John Rhodes, a Shropshire resident, said, "It's terrible that PC nonsense is being used to repress our traditional customs in this way. These ancient traditions are at risk of dying out completely. This is just disgusting." And that's the point, isn't it? I mean, this is a centuries-old tradition. It's something that is uniquely British, probably uniquely English, and now it is being changed and it will probably just die out. That's what happens when you start changing these traditions. They no longer are traditions and they become something completely different. Adrian Pitt added, "I am disappointed that the organisers are not prepared to tolerate my traditional disguise, which has nothing to do with mimicry of any racial group and does not even look like any particular racial group, the evidence for which goes back centuries." And this is it. I mean, it's saying that race is just skin deep and all race is a skin colour. And that is really insulting, really, to all races and identities. The features are different. It's not like he's trying to mimic a black person. What he's trying to do is to disguise a white person by changing the colour of the skin. It's got nothing to do with race. It's not like he's changing his facial features to try and make himself look black. It's just that he's darkening the skin. And it's a great shame that the Morris organisation from Shropshire did not stand up for the Morris dancers here, and instead they just caved in to this left-wing pressure group called Fresh. And finally today, I would like to read out an appeal to young nationalists to join Morris dancing troops. And this actually comes from the Patriotic Alternative website, patrioticalternative.org.uk. And this was actually written by James Loxley last year. He says, "Here is the situation in 2020. Morris dancing teams across England and Wales have been dwindling in numbers for the last decade. The older generation of dancers, many of whom started in the 70s and the 80s, are dying off, and the Morris Ring Circular reads like an obituary of deceased dancers and folding teams. The new Britons, imported since 1948, find no appeal in preserving the heritage of the foreigners whose lands they now inhabit. The authorities of Morris dancing are at a loss for how to appeal to the younger generation due to the loss of practical hobbies, understanding of our own culture, and the difficulty of reaching an online-only generation. And it looks like Morris dancing will not survive this century." I mean, that's really tragic that an old tradition of ours may not survive. And instead of encouraging people to join it, what the Morris Dancing Authority is doing is doing away with essential parts of the tradition. So James Loxley says, "Why should nationalists care about Morris dancing and what can they do to keep it alive? In the movement, we often talk about race and ethnicity and the necessity of preserving it, as if a people were nothing but its blood. It's the key element, but it is far from being the entirety. A people without heritage, culture, or tradition are a shell, totally void of anything higher. Like the atheist who does bell ringing at his semi-abandoned local church, the purpose and the meaning may have been lost. The bell that ought to have called Christian folk to prayers has become an empty pastime. How long can a purely physical people last without any folk traditions? A nation needs to express itself culturally. England needs its culture and its traditions to be kept intact. For a patriot to have a wife and children is an essential, but he has to hand them more than just his blood, if he can. Morris dancing, the earliest record of which we have from the 1400s, is the symbol of English folk culture to many people. Of unclear origins, it became a well-paid profession under the patronage of the early Tudors and the Catholic Church. It was proscribed by the Protestant episcopacy under Elizabeth I due to it being simultaneously pagan and papist. England's folk dance faded away until by the mid-1800s, a folklorist by the name of Cecil Sharp began learning the surviving dances from a few villages in the southeast and began teaching them throughout England. This saved the dance from total oblivion. The British folk revival of the 1970s gave the last real boost to Morris dancing. Many of those who joined then are still dancing today. There are teams for both men and women, and more recently, there are mixed teams. Now, however, there is a real lack of new dancers joining, and teams are folding rapidly throughout the nation. We must face the facts. Unless Morris dancing receives a substantial infusion of young blood, it will die out. These dances cannot be learned from books. If the older dancers die off without passing it on, the art is lost. Who are we to appeal to, and how can we show them the importance of this tradition? The only group of people who we could hope to recruit into Morris dancing are young nationalists and patriots. Is it because the teams don't want anyone else? No, not at all. But where is the interest to a West Indian, or to a Punjabi migrant, or to a Senegalese gentleman in preserving this foreign tradition? Our culture is not their culture. Our people are not their people. With the demographic replacement taking place throughout the Western world, they will not preserve our heritage, they will replace it with one of their own. The left, while many of their older proponents do indeed dance, will not be a good source for recruiting. The younger left are far too keen on ripping down our cultural heritage to assuage their own guilt than to have any notion of preserving it. How can exclusive traditions like single-sex teams, blackface dancers, and patriotic music widely appeal to them? But our traditions do appeal to us. We want our culture to survive. Flowers, hankies, sticks and bells and all the rest of it. It might look amusing, but that is because it is. It is a form of popular entertainment. The local dancers entertain their own community by dancing, or they dance in towns further afield as their renown spreads. It used to be a key part of our cultural calendar. The dances on Easter and on St. George's Day are still the central points of the Morris dancing year. This is our culture, our display of love for our own heritage to entertain our own people, and we must preserve it. So how do we go about saving Morris dancing and at the same time give young nationalists a constructive pastime? Number one, research what teams operate in your area. Number two, there are many different kinds of Morris dancing, such as Cotswold, Northwest, Border, Longsword, etc. They are all fun, but check out a few videos to see which one is your preference. Most teams keep to one style of dancing. Number three, get in touch with one or more local teams. You can do this by phone, Facebook, email, or letter, and ask to come along to a training session, or just to watch them when next they are out dancing in public. If you enjoy it, then join. They will be only too happy for new members. And here's the best bit. Once you've been in the team a little while and have gotten a few dances under your belt, start telling your friends about it. With enough persuasion and patience, you may be able to convince one or two of them to join. It is conceivable that by this means, not only will Morris dancing teams be given a new lease of life, but they will become useful places for nationalists to make new friends and real-world connections. Our people need a culture. By helping to keep Morris dancing going, you are preserving a very important part of England. So get in contact with your local Morris dancing team today. So please do that. Anyone that is interested in Morris dancing, get involved. We need to keep this tradition going. We need to keep our culture going. And it's very sad that the official organisations are now doing their best to remove a rather quite a central part of that tradition, which is the blacking up part of the Morris dancing, which is a central part of the Morris dancing. And I guess the next time you're likely to see it now will be in the Easter of this year. And as it says here, it's also traditional for St. George's Day, so perhaps it might be worth getting some of the local PA branches to go along and visit some of these Morris dancing troops at Easter and on St. George's Day. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.